topped with cacao nibs, flaxseed, or chopped nuts, and vanilla stevia drops to taste if desired. A protein smoothie made with a single scoop of plant-based protein, unsweetened almond milk, half a banana, and ice. Week 2. Focus on your brain. Now that you've been on the BoGlow path for 1 week, you should be feeling and looking a little better. Have your sugar cravings waned? Are you feeling a bit lighter on your feet? Clearer in your skin? Sharper in your mind? More inspired to keep going? In the second week, let's turn to addressing the habits that will support the health and function of the brain, which, as you know, is the second link in the gut-brain-skin connection. I recommend devoting at least 1 hour per day to stress-reducing strategies. This doesn't mean you always need to carve out one full, uninterrupted hour in the day. You can create your own mix of activities from yoga, deep breathing exercises, and even calling a friend to sweat it out in a formal group exercise class. But whether the time is taken all in one shot or broken up throughout the day, schedule it on a calendar and protect it as though it were a business meeting or your child's graduation ceremony. Doctor's orders. If you don't give your body and mind the opportunity to recover, you will break, and so will your skin. Here are some ideas that reinforce the power of exercise, meditation, and sleep. Concepts I explored in Chapter 7. Get moving. Sorry, but you knew this was coming. If you don't already have an exercise routine, it's time to start one. No more couch potato syndrome. No more excuses to skip exercise. If you've been sedentary, start with 5 to 10 minutes of high-intensity interval exercise, 30 seconds of maximal effort, followed by 90 seconds of recovery, eventually working your way up to 20 minutes total, alternating between high and low intensity, at least 3 times per week. This can be done any number of ways, walking outside and varying your speed and levels of intensity, especially where there are hills, using traditional gym equipment, or following along with an online video and performing a routine in the comfort of your home. Get creative here and make it fun. That's the most important factor in getting you moving. If the thought of a treadmill has you thinking dreadmill, guess what? Pick something else that motivates you. It's as simple as that. I can't reiterate this enough. These days, if conventional gyms aren't your thing, opportunities to exercise are everywhere. So there's really no excuse. I don't care which activity you choose, just pick one. Get out your calendar and schedule your physical activities. Also, plan to move more throughout the day, especially if you have a day during which there's absolutely no time to devote to formal exercise. Think about the ways you can sneak in more minutes of physical activity while at work or home. All the research indicates that the health benefits of 3 10-minute bouts of exercise are similar to those of a single 30-minute workout. So if you are short on time on any given day, just break up your routine into bite-sized chunks. And think of ways to combine exercise with other tasks. For example, conduct a meeting with a colleague at work while walking outside, or watch television at night while you complete a set of stretching exercises on the floor. If possible, limit the minutes you spend sitting on your derriere. Walk around, if you can, while you talk on the phone. Take the stairs rather than the elevator, and park far away from the front door to your office or home. The more you move throughout the day, the more your body and skin benefit. If you already maintain a fitness regimen, see if you can increase your workouts to a minimum of 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. This also might be the week you try something different, such as attending a dance class, dropping in on a Pilates studio, or calling a friend who you know is an exercise fiend and asking for help and ideas. It's important that your daily routines are balanced and that you vary your workouts overall so your body's many muscle groups all get attention. The body also responds well to being surprised. When you get used to doing one form of exercise all the time, your body adapts to it. This means its benefits will diminish unless you dial up the intensity each and every time, which most people don't do. The more you vary your routine, the more you will see and feel your body grow stronger, more toned, and healthier. So ask yourself, do you monotonously do the same routine every day? Do you have a strong heart because you love your cardio, but have no real muscle strength elsewhere? You see, I used to be a cardio queen. I was convinced that if I wasn't dripping in sweat by the end of my workout, It didn't really count as a workout. I was thin, but I wasn't especially toned, and I didn't feel particularly strong. But more important, I was mentally exhausted and scattered, and would find myself craving unhealthful foods just to refuel my energy stores and make it through the day. Muffins and baked goods called out to me when I walked into a coffee shop. Okay, they didn't just call out. They jumped up and down screaming, "Whitney, look at us!" A knee injury came at just the right time. It forced me to slow down my cardio and try new things, including Pilates. Once I realized how powerful and centered a non-cardio workout could make me feel, I began to explore all kinds of exercise. Here is my current exercise breakdown. Note, this may have changed by the time you listen to this audiobook because I'm always trying new things. The take-home message should be obvious: variety and balance. 2 days per week of strength training with weights and resistance bands. 1 day per week of cardio intervals, bursts of high-intensity cardio, followed by a recovery period, then repeat. 1 day per week of Pilates, 50 minutes. 1 day per week of light cardio, 30 minutes on the elliptical machine at medium intensity, while I watch my favorite show on a tablet. 1 day per week of yoga. Right now, my yoga class is on Friday afternoons, and I look forward to it all week. I end my yoga sessions with a few minutes of Shavasana, a yoga pose that doubles as a form of meditation. I used to come home on Fridays cross-eyed and fatigued. Now I come home refreshed and looking forward to a wonderful weekend with my family. The new variety in my routine keeps my body strong and balanced. My heart is healthy, thanks to my 2 cardio days. My muscles are strong and powerful, thanks to strength training. And I feel long, lean, and flexible, with an incredibly strong core thanks to Pilates and yoga. I'm not saying you have to do what I do. I'm just saying to shoot for balance and variety. Your body and brain will respond better than they would if you did the same type of exercise every day. Get quiet. As I explained in Chapter 7, meditation is like magic for your body, calming it down quickly and inducing what's called the relaxation response. But you don't have to engage in classic meditation to achieve the same effects. You can practice deep breathing, Tai Chi, or Kundalini yoga, which is a style of yoga with meditative aspects. Your goal is to find a time during every day to press pause and trigger that relaxation response. At the very least, try to establish a daily practice at the same time every day this week. Maybe it's first thing in the morning, after lunch, at precisely 3 p.m. Set your alarm on your smartphone, or before bed. I don't care when. I care that you do it. Get your beauty sleep. In addition to establishing meditation strategies and better exercise habits, use week 2 to focus on your sleep hygiene. If you get less than 6 hours of sleep per night, you can start by increasing that period of time to at least 7 hours. For most people, this is the bare minimum if you want to have normal, healthful levels of fluctuating hormones in your body that are matched to a healthful circadian rhythm. Some people can get by on less sleep, but the vast majority of us would do well to bank 7 hours a night. And remember that if you don't get enough sleep at night, it undoes the benefits you gained from the exercise you did that day. Here are my top 3 tips for getting a good night's sleep, a refresher course on the material I presented in Chapter 7. Protect your sleep time as if it were a prized possession. Go to bed and get up at roughly the same time daily, no matter what. Keep your bedtime routine consistent. It might include downtime, toothbrushing, a warm bath, whatever you need to do to wind down and signal your body that it's time for sleep. Also, don't forget to keep your bedroom quiet, cool, dark, and electronics free. Plan your last meal of the day. Leave at least 2 hours between dinner time and bedtime so your stomach is settled and poised for you to go to sleep. If you need a bedtime snack, save your dessert for 30 minutes to an hour before bedtime. Mind those uppers and downers. Caffeine and alcohol will work against you at bedtime. Make sure that if you consume these ingredients, you do so smartly, and not within 3 hours of bedtime. Stop drinking caffeinated beverages, including tea, by mid-afternoon. Alcohol may make you feel sleepy initially, but as it metabolizes in the body, it can trigger wakefulness. Don't have a second glass of wine, or maybe even skip alcohol in the evening altogether, at least during these 3 weeks. By the time you reach the end of the second week, you should be feeling even better than you did after the first. But don't panic if you don't feel like you've totally hit your stride yet. Most of us have at least one weak spot in our lives that requires extra attention. Perhaps finding the time to exercise is exceedingly challenging given the demands placed on you. Or you're the type who has a hard time evicting carbs that you know your body and skin don't love. Use this upcoming third week to find a rhythm in your new routine. Solidify your new habits and beauty patterns. It is said to take only 3 weeks to get into the groove of establishing new habits. That's not a long time, given the payoffs. Identify areas in your life where you struggle to maintain this protocol and see what you can do to rectify that in week three. Week 3. Focus on your skin. Now that your skin is on the road to radiant from the inside out, this week it's time to work from the outside in. Refer back to Chapter 8 for the details of proper skincare. The following are instructional outlines of the new routines I hope you establish this week, starting with a list of to-dos. Skin prep checklist. Clean up your bathroom by removing harsh cleansers and soaps, loofahs, body scrubbers, sponges, and old cosmetics. Replace them with new products that meet my guidelines. Refer to Chapter 8 and go to my website for brand recommendations. Toss any soaps that say antibacterial on the packaging. Limit use of hand sanitizers. Only use them when gentle soap and water are not available. Toss any alcohol-based toners or astringents. If you've been taking a topical antibiotic, such as erythromycin or clindamycin for a skin condition, make sure you are also using a topical benzoyl peroxide to limit bacterial resistance issues. Better yet, ask your dermatologist for antibiotic-free topical prescriptions or OTC alternatives. With any luck, if you follow all the guidelines in this book, you will soon find yourself no longer needing prescriptions, but sometimes you need a dermatologist's help to get you to that point. If you've been taking an oral antibiotic for a chronic skin condition, make sure you are also taking an oral probiotic. You should have started this during the first week, so this is just a reminder. Also, make sure you don't use oral antibiotics for longer than 3 months. If your condition is not significantly improved after 3 months of taking an oral antibiotic, work with your dermatologist on an alternative strategy. Purchase at least one probiotic-infused topical product and start using it this week as directed on the packaging. Go to my website for brand suggestions tailored to your skin issue. I also recommend that you choose one day this week to apply a probiotic-rich mask on your face. Choose another day to try a mask rich in coconut oil. Refer to my recipes in the bonus PDF. Purchase your skincare products. Moisturizing body wash or bar. Facial cleanser. Daytime serum rich in antioxidants. Choose one that's formulated for the face, neck, and chest, and try to find one containing vitamin C, E, ferulic acid, pomegranate, zinc, copper, or green tea. It's unlikely you'll find any single product that has all these ingredients. If you do, please let me know. So go with the one that has most of them and is packaged well. No clear bottles, because exposure to light can degrade these sensitive ingredients. Moisturizer with sunscreen. Nighttime serum. Look for one that contains ingredients targeted to your concerns. For example, there are serums that target fine lines and wrinkles, serums that address dark spots, and even serums that can prevent acne flares. If you don't have any specific issues to address and are looking for just a general night serum, I recommend one that contains peptides, growth factors, antioxidants, and retinol. Again, see my website for brand ideas. You can also buy a standalone retinol product and use it sporadically rather than every night to avoid unpleasant side effects. Refer to Chapter 8 for details. Not everyone can tolerate daily use of a retinol product. Nighttime moisturizing cream. The BoGlow morning routine. When cleansing your body in the shower or bath, you don't need fancy brushes or loofahs. In fact, you would do well to use your bare hands and a moisturizing body wash or bar. Look for a wash or bar that is soap and fragrance-free if you suffer from eczema or allergies. Ideally, use one that incorporates moisturizers or claims to leave the skin hydrated. Look for the words hydrating or moisturizing on the label. Bathe with warm water, not water so hot that it leaves you itchy and dried out. You can cleanse your face either in the shower or bath or afterward. For your morning routine, find a gentle, pH-balanced, soap-free, hydrating skin cleanser that is water-based. Look for words like gentle, non-irritating, and mild. A cleanser that can be used on babies or is designed for special needs skin is usually a solid product. When washing your face, use lukewarm water and your fingertips only. Pat dry. Up to twice weekly, you can exfoliate your face with a cleanser and a gentle scrub or with a chemical scrub that contains ingredients such as glycolic acid and lactic acid. Doing this more than twice a week can compromise the skin's barrier, resulting in redness, blotchiness, sensitivity to other skincare products, and accelerated aging. Before you apply anything else to your face, apply an antioxidant serum. Alternatively, you can add a few drops of an antioxidant serum to your sunscreen. Next, apply your daily sunscreen containing moisturizer or your moisturizing sunscreen. Yes, your sunscreen can double as a moisturizer. If you add a few drops of an antioxidant serum to your sunscreen, you've got a triple threat. Finally, apply your makeup, if you choose to wear it. Many women are afraid of makeup when they shouldn't be. Makeup does more good than harm. It's confidence and beauty boosting. You don't want to use anything too heavy, such as an oil-based foundation. Look for the word non-comedogenic, meaning it won't clog pores. Use quality, nationally recognized brands that have done their testing. These are the brands that take up a lot of real estate in large drugstore chains and department stores. Although drugstore cosmetics are often just as good as those sold at department stores, sometimes it's fun to splurge a little bit and go for more expensive products. I, for example, like a brand of foundation found only in department and specialty makeup stores because I like how it feels on my skin. Also note, there's a lot of unnecessary fear surrounding chemicals in products and whether or not organic is the way to go. At the same time, we read frightening headlines about beauty care products whose chemicals and detergents end up causing serious side effects, from rashes to hair loss, even though they're often sold as better alternatives to traditional products. Just because something is organic doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe or that it won't trigger a reaction. Remember, anthrax and poison ivy are natural and organic. Whether you're buying organic cosmetics or not, go with brands that have a solid reputation and are not plagued by bad press. You can use the Dr. Whitney's Picks section of my website as your launching pad. The Beau Glow Evening Routine. Nighttime is when your skin should refresh and renew itself, recovering from the free radicals, pollution, and stressors it encounters during the day. You want to give your skin everything it needs for powerful healing at night. If you've been wearing eye makeup or heavy or long wear foundation, or if you live in or near a city where pollution rates are high, I recommend double cleansing. This means using an oil-based cleanser followed by a gentle water-based cleanser. There are great oil-based cleansers on the market, or you can make your own using olive oil. If you're not a big makeup person and don't live in a city, you can just use the same water-based cleanser you used in the morning. DIY Makeup Remover. In a bottle with an airtight top, place 2 cups of filtered water. Then add 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Shake the mixture well before using. Apply to your face with cotton pads. Within 5 minutes of washing your face, be sure to trap the moisture onto your skin by applying some nighttime products. Start with your retinol product if you're using one. If your serum contains retinol, you don't need a separate retinol product. Avoid doubling up on the retinol application. Dab a pea-sized amount on your forehead, cheeks, nose, and chin, then rub it in. That one pea-sized squirt should cover your entire face. Then dab a second pea-sized amount across your neck and chest. You may not feel like you're getting enough, but tiny little microscopic bits of ingredients will migrate all over your face, neck, and chest. Plus, at the beginning, you really want to err on the side of less is more. Next, apply your serum and night cream on top of the retinoid product to seal it in and prevent dryness and irritation. Use a night cream that has hydrating ingredients such as hyaluronic acid, vitamins, and peptides. Ease a visible skin condition with evening primrose oil. Anyone who has a visible skin condition such as acne, psoriasis, rosacea, or eczema should try a topical application of evening primrose oil. This is a great source of linoleic acid, a beneficial fatty acid that can reduce inflammation in the skin. Apply this between your serum and night cream. If you live in a place where harsh winters dry out your skin, use an eye cream or coconut oil around your eyes during those months. Some people like to use eye creams throughout the year, no matter where they live. That's fine too. You can also apply coconut oil to your legs from the knee down, as well as to your heels, since there aren't a lot of oil glands there. The elbow and knee scrub I mentioned works well for these areas. On nights when you have extra time, try a facial mask tailored to your skin's needs. My Cranberry Apple Antioxidant Face Mask. One of my favorite power-packed antioxidant skin masks is simple and easy to make, but will leave your face feeling radiant and renewed. Cranberries and apples are rich in wrinkle-fighting antioxidants, including vitamin C, which helps collagen production and strengthens your hair and nails. Almond oil is packed with vitamin E, which softens and smooths the skin, improves tone and complexion, and has been shown to slow down the visible signs of aging. One apple peeled, cored, and chopped. Half a cup fresh or defrosted frozen cranberries. 1 tablespoon almond oil. Combine all ingredients in a food processor until the mixture reaches a paste-like consistency. It should be a bit thick. Spread on clean skin. Leave on for 3 to 5 minutes, then rinse off with warm water. If you suffer from a skin disorder that has not been remedied, or not remedied to your liking, by the end of this week, schedule a visit to the dermatologist. How do you find one? Start by asking your friends and coworkers for recommendations, or ask your internist for a referral. Uh-oh, now what? What do you do after the 3 weeks are up? You keep doing what you're doing. Aim to stick to my dietary protocol. Keep those good lifestyle habits of movement, meditation, and sound sleep. And treat your skin gently every day. Each weekend, plan the week ahead. Set aside 10 minutes or less to plan upcoming meals, organize your grocery list, and determine whether you need other supplies, such as a replacement for a night cream that is getting low. See if you can predict the days when you'll be extra harried and prepare for them as best you can. When eating in restaurants, try to choose those that use fresh, organic, and locally grown ingredients. Just as you would prepare your meals at home with whole, fresh, unprocessed ingredients, you'll want to patronize restaurants that do the same. If you buy prepared foods at markets, a practice you should keep to a minimum, look for fresh ingredients free of artificial sweeteners and hydrogenated fats. Keep in mind that if you didn't make it, you simply do not know what is in it. There are lots of apps now that can help you with your goals, including those that track your movements, help you make smart decisions at the market. For example, tell you the GI index of various foods, help you meditate by means of guided imagery, and even show you how well you are sleeping at night. Don't be afraid to use technology when it can serve a real purpose and benefit you. I use Google Calendar to help me keep track of my commitments and carve out time to exercise, MyFitnessPal to track my daily diet and favorite recipes, and Breathe to guide me in meditation. Use what works for you. As I tell my patients, be flexible but consistent. We all have bad days, nights when we don't sleep well, and moments of weakness when we reach for that pastry or second helping of a decadent dessert. Just don't beat yourself up. A slip here or there will not ruin you and your skin. You can recover. If you're consistent for 90% of the time, you will be fine. In fact, you'll be better than fine. Those little slips make us human and help us feel alive. As doctors learn more about dermatological science, I'll keep you up to date. Just keep checking my website for all the latest and greatest. Nobody expects you to research or test every product out there. That's what I'm here for. Keep the big picture in sight. And remember, the BOGLO is within reach. Always. And I'll be right there with you as you proceed. Now get glowing. This has been a Hachette Audio production of The Beauty of Dirty Skin, written by Dr. Whitney Bowe with Kristen Loberg, read by Dr. Whitney Bowe and Lauren Ruff, directed by Patrick Smith, executive producer Lisa Kahn, produced and recorded by Audio Media Production, post-production by Audio Media Production. This program includes a Mac and PC compatible PDF of bonus material. The Beauty of Dirty Skin is also available in print and digital formats from Little Brown & Company, a division of Hachette Book Group. For more Hachette Audio productions, visit us at hachetteaudio.com. Thank you for listening. Text copyright 2018 by Whitney Bowe. Audio production copyright 2018 Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. Hachette Book Group supports the right to free expression and the value of copyright. The purpose of copyright is to encourage writers and artists to produce the creative works that enrich our culture. The duplicating, uploading, and distribution of this book without permission is a theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like permission to use material from the book, other than for review purposes, please contact permissions at hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.